Welcome or welcome back to episode 200 of the Joy Loving Home podcast. If you had told me when I had overcome my fear enough to hit the record button 200 episodes ago that I would reach this point at some point in the journey, I probably would not have believed you, but I have loved walking on this journey with all of you that have reached towards me and have become part of my free podcast community and have become part of my membership group. Those of you in there, I am starting to have such lovely relationships with and just getting to know you through my Work With Me Wednesdays. And it's just been incredibly rewarding. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community. And if you happen to be finding me brand new on episode 200, welcome. You have plenty of binging to do if you ever want to just, you know, put this on in your ears and get busy working on some things. Hopefully you will find sources of tips and inspiration and sort of out of the box thinking about organizing and decluttering and planning for those of us that definitely have ADHD or believe we have ADHD or have ADHD loved ones that we're trying to understand a little better. And that has been all a part of this journey. So thank you. And without further ado, I will jump right in and we'll get started on today's topic, which is how to help a loved one downsize. And I'll explain why this is so special to me right in this sort of moment in time, right after this. A wise person once said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." Well, fish, quit trying to climb trees while getting advice from well-intentioned monkeys. It's time to jump in the water and learn how to swim with the current of your life. I'm Joy, a professional organizer, mom of four, and fellow fish brain. If you're looking for a place to get understanding, encouragement, and ideas for your home that actually fit how your brain thinks, then I'm glad you're here. Let's ditch the type A advice and embrace what makes our brains and our homes unique. Together, we can have a joy-loving home. Okay, before I jump completely in, I want to tell you to please stay till the very end because I have an announcement that I want you to hear. And so this is actually, I think, going to be a long one. I was feverishly taking notes and it's a lot more notes. Normally, I'm like three bullet points and I hit record and I roll. And this, I kid you not, is three pages worth of notes because I wanted to capture all of the things I'm wanting to share with you right now. So just hang on with me. I think you'll discover it's some valuable information. I am leaning into this as my topic because while I have helped several older clients prepare to downsize, and I've helped one even post they were moving locally, so I was helping her set up her new smaller space. Actually, I helped two, but one was older, one was young. They just decided to downsize while the market was great to sell their house, and they had a great opportunity to move to a local place that they had been wanting to go to. So anyway, I'm digressing, but the reason I leaned into this right now is because I just spent the weekend. So we had flew up on a Saturday and we had a good chunk of Saturday, all of Sunday, all of Monday, and a little bit of Tuesday morning to work to get my in-laws' home ready to go on the market, which was a whole lot of undecorating, depersonalizing is probably the best way to say it, thinning things out so the house just looked better for photos, and just preparing that downsizing journey. We couldn't do all of it, but it was an integral part that had to be done so that we could get this house on the market. And I had mentioned in the last episode, if you had listened, episode 199, that I had been having some stress happening in the background. And remember, all stress is not bad. There's stress due to good things too. But my in-laws had been on a wait list for, gosh, over 2 years for a really phenomenal retirement community that has like all the stages. So they're going in independent. They're great. But if they should need care in the future, there's assisted living and nursing care and memory care all in this same location, and they will be able to stay in this location through their journey. And we know this place really, really well, and we know it's a great place. And so we're super excited that they're going. Even in that excitement, there is this really what we want to do? Are we really ready? Is, you know, trying to help them make the decision, is the space that opened up the right space, or do they need to say no and wait for the next space? And just all things sort of came together. They decided to agree to take the spot that is open, and that set a 90-day clock ticking in which we need to be prepared to move them in. And that includes having their house sold. Happily, their home is wonderful and beautiful and so well kept. And so I know it will go quickly, but that didn't mean it was ready to be on the market right away. So we had to jump in with both feet and whip everything into shape. And in that process, I was like, this is something so many of us will have to do at some point. So even if this is an episode, you just are like, I'm going to remember that this exists. And when I am ready to talk downsizing with my parents or my in-laws, or I'm facing that journey, these are some valuable tips. I will say, even if you're not at that stage, but you're just trying to say, I've had enough of my home as cluttered as it is, maybe listen for gems that might help you in just your own decluttering journey to stay in your home, but you just want to live in it with a little more breathing room. So I think that these steps, many of them will be sort of all-encompassing for a lot of things. I did want to share that I had mentioned, you know, part of why I think I've managed this stress well is because I was regularly using my magic mind as part of my coffee ritual, where I would drink my coffee and alongside that, I would do my little magic mind shot, which is a little green drink shot that you are supposed to open the lid and breathe it in and kind of pause for a moment and then exhale and then drink it. And I love just sort of the pause of that and sort of getting myself together. And then one of the main ingredients that I love as far as stress is concerned is ashwagandha, which I have added to smoothies off and on during moments of my life. And I do think it's a fantastic stress reliever. But it has been, I think, super helpful for this journey because I was sort of looked to as a resource for how to downsize and how to get them together. And I do happen to also have my real estate license. And so things that I knew we needed to do to make the house look as great as we could, a lot of questions were going my direction. And I wanted to be positive and I wanted to be helpful. And I wanted to, in the flurry, make sure things seemed like whatever pace we had to go in, it was all going to be okay. So anyway, I was thrilled that I had the magic mind on board and that things seemed less stressful and great. And so if you are also like, hey, she's talked a lot of focus, but I did not know it was going to be this great for stress as well, and you want to give it a shot, if you would like to try going through my link, which is no different cost for you. Actually, you get a 20% discount, but it also supports the podcast as they've been gracious enough to sponsor me. So my link, if you'd love to give this a try, is magicmind.com/joyshome. And then when you pick out what you want, now I'm on a subscription, so I don't forget to keep ordering it because I've done that before and had a lapse. But if you want to go in any different direction, you get the most off if you do the subscription. But once you've picked it out in the card, it'll ask if you have a code, and your code is joy loving. And yeah, if you give it a try and you're enjoying it, please give me a shout. I'd love to hear people who have given it a try and are enjoying it. So anyway, those links will be in the show notes too if you need to look back at those. But anyway, let's jump in and talk about the pro tips from a pro organizer, from somebody who has a real estate license, from somebody who has had to help folks journey through this sort of downsizing. What are some things that I think are really worthwhile to know? So my number one tip is, if at all possible, please involve all of the children. And what I mean by that is, so of course, we're talking about my in-laws, and they have my husband, who is their middle child, and they have an older daughter and then a younger son. And we were able to coordinate schedules and get everybody there for two of the days. And that was so helpful because everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees what everybody's going through. Everybody's pitching in to help. And the biggest part of that is we were able to set aside places where when his mom or his dad wanted to gift things to the kids that they're hoping they'll hold on to, they could right away say, oh, I really had wanted you to have this, or, oh, this was your grandmother's, oh, this was your grandfather's. Would any of you like this? He mentioned you when he talked about this, and I would love for you to have this, or I'm the only one that has a daughter in the family, so some of the things that were passed on from grandmothers or great-grandmothers, they were wanting to go to the granddaughter. We were able to make piles and immediately take things to those spots. The nice thing is when everybody's there, if that's an impossibility, at least set up places where you know the minute they make a comment that you can carry those things to those spaces. If you have a little post-it note pad that you can carry around, jot a few words and stick it to that so that you will remember the story if you're trying to share it with someone later when those things get delivered to those people, that's wonderful as well. So just getting yourself set up with, where are we going to put things that are going to others? Where are we going to put things that are going to go donate? Let's have plenty of trash bags ready. Let's have plenty of boxes. If they have special charities they want to get things to do, just places to put things as decisions are being made is super useful. If you know all families have different dynamics, if you know there's somebody who will be difficult and will slow things down and will be crabby, maybe don't invite them. You know your family dynamics better than I do. But when it works, it's great. So just sort of remember that. But my other sort of pro tip on this is to contact all of the kids ahead of time and have a little powwow and say, listen, I have heard from experts in this downsizing process that they are going to have trouble getting rid of things unless they know they're going to someone they love or who they know will appreciate it. So even if you don't want any of the things they're trying to gift to you, we want you to graciously accept all of it. And then once it's yours, it belongs to you, and you drive away with it, you get to choose what to do with it. So if you want none of it and you drive straight to Goodwill after you leave their house, that's up to you. But while they're trying to give to you, don't go, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want to clutter my house. I'm trying to downsize. I don't want your junk. So many hurtful things can be said when parents are trying to downsize. Please, please, please try and use the discretion of, oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you for thinking of me. Oh, of course I'll hold. I'll take this for you. You don't have to promise to hold on to it. You do what you want with your giftings once they're yours, but accept things graciously. My one sort of caveat there would also be, however, if you are a person who you know is going to dump all of it the second you drive away, at least contact the other siblings and say, hey, if anything was gifted to me and you were hurt because you actually had wanted it, please tell me right now because I don't want any of this and I'm more than happy to give it to you. That's important for people because sometimes people wanted things from their family members and they didn't get them and saw them go to somebody else who didn't appreciate them. And you want to just avoid all of that. So just have all of those things in the back of your mind. All right. Next pro tip. Remember that letting go is really, really hard. They're saying goodbye to a home they have lived in for a long time and loved. They're saying goodbye to a lifestyle where they sort of had complete control over their whole environment. They're saying goodbye to a lot of their things and the way they lived in their routines. Everything is changing for them. Because this is really, really hard, you have to have lots of patience and lots of grace and lots of kindness. And even if you know they're keeping more than will fit, you go through the process of letting them initially keep because you're going to notice that at first they'll be keeping everything, and then they'll go through this phase where they're like, oh, enough is enough. And they start letting a lot of things go. And then it might swing back the other direction, and that's okay. There's a sort of muscle that happens with a lot of decision making. There's so much decision making fatigue that it starts slow and then it ramps up and then the exhaustion happens. And you'll sort of see it go through this wave of they're struggling, now they're really on board, and now they're struggling again. When you see the struggling again begin to happen, make sure you're building in lots of breaks. Make sure they're drinking lots of water. Make sure you can ask them from time to time, hey, actually what would help would be for you to sit here and let me bring things to you. All you're deciding is keep or go or maybe, or, you know, so that they're not constantly on their feet, not constantly lifting things, not constantly fretting back and forth and moving around from room to room to room. Try and keep things narrowed and focused and in short spurts. Build in where maybe you start right after breakfast, but then there's, you know, a midday break where everybody just kind of chills for a bit with a good, you know, beverage. And then you start again. And then at lunch, you take a nice longer break. And then you go a little bit. And then you let people take afternoon naps or a cup of coffee in the afternoon with a little bit of cookies. And then you start up again. And then stop when it would normally be time to stop and just relax to the evening. There's so much going on. The exhaustion and the stress, even if they're attempting to hide it from you, is all there. So please, please, please allow breaks, fluids, snacks all the way along. All right, pro tip number three, help yourself remember that this is a generation in which to waste anything would be a sin, and that every single thing can find a usefulness. So when you're trying to have them part with things, everything they touch, they're going to go, well, this is useful, or this, you know, this is purposeful. And so you need to start reframing things like, okay, this, I see how useful this can be. However, do you really foresee yourself using it in the new location? Or can we let it go to bless someone else? Because if it's not being used now or in your new location, it's losing its usefulness. Let's let it go to somebody who will be so grateful to have it and can actually use it for what it's intended for. And the best sort of immediate example I have of this is my father-in-law had had some knee replacements, and he had to have like a certain kind of bike to do sort of therapy as he was building up his stamina. And he had it for years because the knee surgeries were years ago. And as we were downsizing, obviously we knew there was no space for this bike, and the place they're at has a wonderful gym. And so we were carrying it out to the garage, and he knew that it was time to let it go, but he was thinking it might be worth a little more than it was. And we were trying to post things on Facebook. Well, long story short, the gentleman who ended up deciding to pick it up had, he was younger kids, but had a wife who had an accident of some sort where she was having to relearn to walk and needed the bike for therapy. And they were so grateful that somebody was going to use it, and it would be this recovery for this young woman and to get back on track with her family and her kids. And they immediately dropped the price to almost nothing. I mean, I actually wasn't there when they picked it up. I don't know if they ultimately gave it away. But for them to see, oh, this thing that had just been sitting collecting dust since his last knee surgery recovery was now sent out into the world to be useful to someone else. And I always think of like the Toy Story stories where like the toys are sad when they're not being played with. It's like, let the things that have a usefulness be useful instead of just sitting somewhere collecting dust. So that's tip number three, was to just remember or remind them that it's okay to let go, even if they don't know who it's going to ultimately go to. Allow trust that it will find its way to the people who need it. All right. The next thing is, there can be a difficulty in deciding if something is fit to gift away or give away or donate versus if it's a little rough and gone. And that might be a problem you have more than they have, because they can see value in any object, even if it looks really, really worn. And where I sort of guide in this direction is, when in doubt, still donate. Unless it's obvious trash, allow it to be donated, because people are hired to sort through and make those decisions. And that's a job. I mean, it's great that those jobs exist. It's employing somebody, it's giving payment to, you know, to their families. And so allow them to do their job. They also, many of the donation places have where they can recycle clothing and where they can recycle other items if they don't think they're worthy of being in their shops. So when in doubt, go ahead and donate, and then let someone else be the deciding factor there. Now, other interesting pro tip here is the number of things that were hardest to part with where it fell into two categories. One was, it was personalized in some way. So it had a name on it, or it had an inscription written on it, or it was dated with something, or it was, you know, all those personalized things that we are told make fantastic gifts because how thoughtful you are, end up being the very things that are the most difficult to let go. Or things that were just gifts, but they have vivid memories of, oh, well, so-and-so gave me this, and so-and-so gave me this, and they made that for me, even if it's not personalized, but it was a homemade, handmade gift. Oh my goodness, the number of those things that I know my mother-in-law kept because out of guilt of, but somebody made this for me. Somebody put an inscription in this book. Somebody put... Oh, and I understand how difficult that is, but we are weighing people down with things that are super thoughtful at the time. And so as a way to reframe this, my suggestion is, if this gift had been an experience, it would have been no less valuable to you, right? If they had gifted you, you know, a museum membership for a year, and you loved going every single day, and you thought that was so thoughtful, that expired. It's done. It's not something you can keep to remember that they were so thoughtful and that they were so wonderful at how they personally thought of something to give you. But you're still grateful for that. And whatever this item is that you're having trouble parting with out of guilt, the person didn't want you to feel guilt about the item. They were thrilled to have given it to you at the time. They knew when they picked it out, they were tickled that you were going to be happy. They had that moment with you. You had that moment with the item. It expired now, and it's okay to let it go. Doesn't always work, but it's worth giving that a try. Worst case scenario, try packing all of those sentimental things into the same box. Mark it later, meaning as boxes are coming into the home later, it can be some of the last stuff brought in, because as they realize they don't have room, they might be more willing to part with it. So just an idea there. Again, doesn't always work, but it's worth a try. All right, the next one is, allow the people that are downsizing, whomever they are in your life, to be excited that this is a new chapter, a new adventure, a new location, a new chance to dream a little and do things a little differently. Don't force them to drag their old life into their new scenario with them if it doesn't seem to be their vibe. I have seen people who want their new space set up as identically as possible to their old place because they want it to feel like home right away. And then I've seen others who are like, oh my goodness, my mom, for instance, I had never imagined this was coming. I thought she was going to want it set up. I'm speaking about this because it's my own guilt. I was trying to make the new space that they were having to move to after 41 years seem like, quote unquote, home. And I was trying to set it up with all the same things in about the same way so that it would feel familiar. And yet She knew it wasn't the same space. I knew it wasn't the same space. It would have been much kinder for me to have allowed her to be like, and what she finally did push, and I'm so proud of her for having pushed, is to be like, you know what? I want to do things a little differently. I don't want that painting. I don't want that piece of furniture. Do you know what I've always wanted in my kitchen? I want red. I feel like red is fun. Why don't we try red things? And I was like, what? Who are you and what have you done with my mother? But I think it's fantastic that she finally sort of pushed her own personality onto this new space. And she saw it as an exciting chance to try something a little different. She had been stuck in a house from 1970 for so long that had avocado green appliances and the red didn't go there, but she had wanted to try red and she never could. And all of a sudden she's in this nice new bright neutral space and she leaned into it. And I love that. So allow whoever is moving to talk about the excitement, to talk about this as a new adventure, to ask them things like, you know, is there anything you're excited about with the change? Do you want to do things differently? And think about repurposing some of the furniture. Like maybe it's still a beloved piece, but for instance, with my mother, she had some things that were Amish made because we lived in Amish country. And one was called a dry sink and we had it in the kitchen. And then when we moved to the new place, there wasn't any room for it. And we repurposed it as the media stand because everything was sort of open concept, which she didn't have in her old house. And she had like a corner hutch and a pie safe and this dry sink all from this Amish made oak. And we were able to sprinkle that around so that the pie safe became her pantry. The corner cabinet stayed as a little corner cabinet where she displayed some favorite china. And then the media console was the old dry sink, and it made the whole open concept sort of flow, which was fun, but it was us thinking outside of the box of how it had been used at the old space. So allowing that fun excitement and new adventure into this downsizing will keep things upbeat. I remember sitting down with my mom before we started and saying, how do you want the new place to feel? Like, what are your hopes for the new space? And this was after my dad had passed away and she was moving yet again to a downsizing a second time. And she just said, I want to feel like it's warm and welcoming and ready. If anybody were to walk by and knock on the door, that I could immediately offer them a cup of tea and not be embarrassed about it being too cluttered. And so we used that frame of every time she was, oh, I don't know, maybe I should keep it. And I would say, well, do you think that this will, you know, fit that sort of welcoming, uncluttered vibe? And she'd go, oh, no, let's get rid of that. It just helped us sort of push that envelope that direction, which was helpful when it came to having her make decisions. And then my next pro tip is prepare for the sadness and don't make them have to sort of snap out of it, or don't, you know, go, oh, but look at all the good things, or go, I know this is hard. This has been a fabulous home. We are always going to remember and treasure the memories here. Allowing that sort of sadness is okay. It doesn't mean they're making the wrong decision. You can be sad about something and still be making really great decisions. And so giving them permission for that, I think, is great. All right. Oh, another great tip, and this is sort of, I didn't know where this one fit in, but if you know the measurements of the new place and you're trying to make decisions, I do it with old-fashioned way. I will create graph paper and I would allow each square to be half a foot. And then I would draw out the room in the correct dimensions, and then I would cut out all the furniture we were considering keeping. And I did this with my mother-in-law this week, and we planned out both the master bedroom and the spare bedroom of all the pieces of furniture she wanted to bring and take, and realized it was going to be too tight. And it allowed her to realize she was okay with giving up a couple things that she had originally planned to keep, because she could see on paper, and we were able to rearrange it four different ways and finally discover it's just, no matter how we shift all this furniture around, it's just not all going to fit. And that was super helpful. So if there's probably YouTube videos out there, there's probably apps out there to help but I like to do it the old-fashioned way. And then the final thing is that if, and this is a luxury, but if this is possible at all, if you guys like talk among this, the children, and if all of you, let's say there's two or three of you, could agree to each pay for 1 month of a storage unit close by. And that would be a great, quote unquote, housewarming gift as part of this move. But what that allows you to do is on the day of the move, you take the essential furniture and you set it into place. And then you have the boxes that are labeled immediate use, the things that are a kitchen, bathroom, you know, the basic lamps and things that would sit around, you know, in the living room or the kitchen or the dining room. And the immediate stuff, you move into the space and you help them get unpacked and settled. But then you label all the other boxes that are sort of just the extra decor, all the things that you think were a little bit too much for the space, but you wanted them to feel like they could keep it. Label all those boxes later and take all those straight to the storage space. And then let them live a couple weeks in the space with just the essentials in place. Because they might discover right away, oh, we didn't have room for this or that. It allows them not to be tripping or stumbling over a pile of boxes that there's nowhere to put it and set up a room at the same time. All of that will be aside at a storage space. And then little by little, allow them to bring a small box over, or you bring a small box over at a time. You open it up, you remember what it is, and you go, oh, let's find homes for this. Or they might go, why did I bring this? There's no space for this here. And it allows you to do sort of a second level downsizing once they actually see what it's like to live in the space. Again, that's a luxury to be able to do this, but it is so much more relaxing if it's an option at all. That's good for any move. Not just downsizing, but, you know, we all don't get that luxury. And then in the future, sort of earmark for yourself, what are great gifts when they already are living in a small space? And make sure future gifts are things like anything that's perishable or consumable or an experience. Things like gift cards to go out to eat or other food or flowers or just to enjoy for a little bit. Perhaps stamps, if they still love to communicate through snail mail. Just the gift of a bunch of stamps and some blank cards can be a really lovely gift to have them keep in touch with others. Stamps are expensive. Keeping up with a lot of loved ones adds up. Those are great gifts and they're consumable for them. So I guess I went on for over a half hour. I knew this was going to be a long one, but think about when time is ready, if any of those tips are helpful, whether you're trying to declutter and get ready to downsize, whether a loved one is, or whether you're trying to stay in place, but just have had enough of everything that's around you. I hope some of those will be helpful. And then I asked you to stay at the end because I had a quick announcement, and that is that the membership is now open again. I just went onto the website. I opened all the links. I'm going to leave it open until April 7th at midnight. And we are taking that first week of April off. I'm off on spring break with my kids, so I'm not going to be active in the membership that week. But I will welcome all the new members in on that Monday, and we'll start with a brand new challenge for the month and getting to know each other with the new group that is joining. So if that is something you have been holding out and wondering about and waiting for, the membership is open starting today through the 7th at midnight. Okay, until next time. Continue to choose joy. Oh, and I'll put the link to that membership in the show notes, but it's joylovinghome.com/membership.